First scripture reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him. And when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put them on his own animal. He put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading comes from the famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And it's just one of the sentences Paul writes about love. He writes, "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant." This is the word of the Lord. I'll tell you a little tale of when I lived in Florida. One of the churches I had, it was in Bradenton, not far down the road, there was a little cafe called Diane's. And it was only open for breakfast and for lunch. It was really small. You had a great breakfast, you know, that you could get there any time. And about 25 people could pack themselves in there, maybe. And besides the breakfast, the other reason why I liked to go there was that if you came in more than a couple times, the place was so small that the waitresses would soon know your name. And, you know, coffee or tea or Coke or whatever it was you drank would appear without you even saying anything. And the owners used to come out and see people, and they loved a good joke or story, and they could tell a few good ones, too. And at one point, the owners decided that everyone who worked there was going to wear the same T-shirt. So they had this light blue T-shirt, you know, Florida, everything's nice and colorful. And it said, "Diane's" on the front. And on the back, it said, "Because nice matters." You know, in a world where rudeness and coldness and just plain nastiness seems to be getting the upper hand, nice really does matter. And not just nice, but gentleness, warmth, politeness, and most of all, kindness matters. And what is kindness? Well, kindness is really love in action. And when I counsel people getting married, I tell them, love is not a feeling, an emotion. You know, it produces feelings, enormous emotions, but love is an act of the will that leads to action. And kindness is when love really gets eyes and ears, hands and feet. So Jesus once told a story that we just heard to illustrate this truth called the Good Samaritan, which is a famous story, or it used to be. And Jesus tells the story of the 3 men who are traveling down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it's important to know that the Jerusalem-Jericho road was known for a violent robbery. which is why people used to go in caravans or groups. All three of the men encounter the same crime scene, but each of these men responds in a different way. Jesus says that these three men represent three choices in life. And as we go through life, one of the three attitudes will probably be ours toward the people around us, particularly people who are suffering or in pain. The first attitude is what you might call keep my distance. Luke 10, 30 to 31 says, there was a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, beat him, and left him half dead. And it so happened that a priest was going down that road, but when he saw him, he walked on the other side of the road. This is the lifestyle of avoidance, keeping my distance. Don't ever get too close to people because they might ask you for something, for help. Keep people at arm's length. Keep your relationships as superficial as possible. Keep your distance. The second type of lifestyle we could call curious but uninvolved. Luke 10:32 says, in the same way, a Levite also came there. He went over, looked at the man, and then walked by on the other side. And I think in some ways this might be worse. He walks across the street, sees this guy victimized, you know, beaten, half dead, naked, bleeding, and he stares at him, and then walks back to the other side and keeps on going. Have you ever noticed that it's a lot easier to be curious about people's problems than to help them do something about it? We love to talk about other people's problems online, in text, in casual conversation. Entire publishing businesses are built on the fact that we love to read about each other's problems. Why? Well, we like to read about it and then stay detached from it. Aware, but apathetic. Curious, but uninvolved. The third response is the response of the Good Samaritan. Of course, it's nice to know that Jews and Good Samaritans hated each other. It's implied that the victim is a Jew. And his response is, treat others the way I would like to be treated. And the Bible says in verse 33, a Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with compassion. If we want to grow in love, if we want to know how to build better, authentic relationships, then this Good Samaritan has something to teach us about kindness, that love in action. Now, if we're going to learn to be kinder, more loving people, we need to start opening our eyes to the world around us and to start really seeing the needs of the people around us. Kindness always begins with the eyes, the way you look, the way you observe. If you're not aware of people's needs, well, you're not going to do anything about it. You have to see the need first. Remember, Jesus said when he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. If you want to learn to become a kinder person, we need to change the way we look at the world. Seeing, not just looking, but seeing on purpose with the eyes of love is the starting point. There are wounded people all over the world. There are wounded people sitting right here this morning and where we live and where we shop. But do we see them? Often we don't because we are busy, and I found that hurry is the death of kindness. If we are going to be kinder to people, we are going to have to slow down. We've got to slow down the speed of life in order to be able to see the needs of the people around us. A family sort of did this, not really on purpose, just sort of happened. They decided they were going to go see the country from coast to coast. And they were great campers and hikers and generally outdoor enthusiasts, so they decided they would go by car. So they loaded up their SUV, the kids, the dog, and they took off. On the way from Connecticut to San Francisco, they saw the Great Smoky Mountains, the Rockies, Yellowstone, the Grand Canyon, and lots else. The youngest boy learned to fly fish for the first time. The oldest, a girl, got to test out her driver's permit on the lonelier roads. And along the way, they also changed 3 tires for others. Towed a boat out of a lake that had broke its mooring and started floating away. Drank gallons of coffee and iced tea with all sorts of new friends. Became unofficial members of a bird watching group, and they still swap photos with them. Got to know each other very well, and they still talk about that trip today. Now, they could have gone by plane or by train or bus, but they would have missed a lot of the country. They would have missed a lot of new people. But even more importantly, they would have missed a lot of each other. Because the faster you go, the less you see. Now, the second thing the Good Samaritan did after looking at the man, seeing him, was to feel empathy. The Bible says in Luke 33, when he saw him, his heart was filled with compassion. First, his eyes were alerted, and then his heart kicked in, and he was filled with compassion. The Bible tells us, weep with those who weep. In other words, share their sorrow. Feel what they're feeling. And how do you do that? Well, if sensitivity begins with your eyes, sympathy begins with your ears. The better listener you become, the more sympathetic or compassionate you become. Sometimes kindness is just listening. Ever wonder why cell phones caught on and social media took off? It's because people are dying to have someone listen to them. And yet, sometimes it seems people are listening, seem to be listening, but they really aren't. Such as when you've lost your job and someone tells you that don't worry about it without really listening to you. And then maybe they go on, better yet, and tell you how to write a resume to get another job instead of shutting up and listening. Your best friend is moving away and they say, oh, you'll find another one. And well, maybe, but you wanted that one. Your spouse has died and people send you cards saying, I'm not really gone, I'm just out of sight. And you wonder what planet they are living on to say that. Sometimes kindness is using your ears and holding that person in sympathy with your attentive listening. People tell me, what do I do in a crisis? Someone has lost a family, someone, an accident. What? I said, listen, ministry of presence. Just go there, shut up, and listen. It works. Lastly, in order to be able to put kindness into practice, to be willing to sharpen your spiritual radar and look and really see hurting people, to be able to listen and really hear with sympathy their pain, to be able to act at once in person and with whatever resources are on hand, we need to be willing to be interrupted. Because kindness does not happen on your schedule. Kindness happens on their schedule. Look in the Bible and you will see Jesus being interrupted on the way from here, there. A lot of times it says, Jesus was on the way to, and then he's sidetracked to help someone. One of my professors called Jesus' ministry the ministry of interruption. Love is often inconvenient. Susan Kidd, Christian author, wrote this. She said, this happened long ago on one of those December days when people wished that they had done their Christmas shopping in July. Snowflakes whipped through the air on a lazy wind. Now, a lazy wind is one of those winds that is too lazy to go around you. It just goes straight through you. Hunched on a sidewalk bench sat a man, not shaven, pretty rumpled. He wore a threadbare jacket and shoes with no socks. He'd folded a paper bag against his neck to help protect against the biting wind. A shopper paused, saddened by the man, and thought, oh, such a pity. but there was really nothing she could do. While the shopper lingered there, a young girl about 11 or 12 years old walked by and spotted the man, and wrapped around her neck was a brightly colored woolen scarf. She stopped beside the man, unwrapped the scarf from her neck, and tenderly put it around the man's neck. She walked merrily down the street. The man rubbed the soft wool scarf. Then the shopper crept away, wishing that she had been the one to give that man the scarf. "I was that shopper," wrote Susan Kidd. "And God taught me something that day. Wherever I am, whatever I possess, there's always something that I can give. A touch, a smile, a prayer, a kind word, a listening ear, a good deed, even a scarf." So let's sharpen our seeing and hearing and get ready to be interrupted. Let's see who needs our kindness this week. Amen.